We do want to say a special, just thank you to moms out there. We want to honor and celebrate you. Today is a special day for a lot of you. I do want to just acknowledge the fact that this can be a day full of mixed emotions, though. This is a great day. Some of you feel such deep joy on this today, and you feel loved and honored. And some of you just feel pain and loss and maybe unmet expectations. Maybe there's distance and broken relationships in your life. And I just want to know we're praying for you too, right? Like Jesus talks about it in the New Testament. It talks about how we're supposed to be people that celebrate with those who celebrate and mourn with those who mourn. And today, I just want you to know that that's God's heart for you. If today is a day of loss and hurt for you, just know that Jesus is there for you. And if today is a day of celebration and excitement, know that Jesus is there for you today in that as well. It's such an important thing. And today we really want to talk about, we're finishing up this idea of come home. And today we're talking about coming home. Today, we want you to know that moms, if you're out there and you've got a kid that walked away, listen, I want you to know we've been praying for your child to come home. If you're out there and maybe you're a kid and your mom is the one that walked away, we want you to know we've been praying with you that people can come home. And today, it's such an important thing as we kind of finish this up, as we look at that. I just want to kind of set the tone. Like, have you ever walked into a room or walked into a group and just felt like you didn't belong there? Right? Like you walked in and you were just like, nope, I don't belong. This is not where I'm supposed to be. Maybe you walked into a room and thought, man, if they really knew what was going on in my life, I wouldn't be allowed into this group. I couldn't really be a part of it. If they knew my past, if they knew my struggles, if they knew what's going on in my mind right now, they wouldn't accept me. I need you to hear that God is so good. There is a crafty enemy out there, though, that is lying to you. He is the king of lies, and he wants you to believe this lie, that you don't measure up, that you haven't really changed, that no matter how far you come, all people will ever remember is your worst moments. This is such a big deal to realize where this lie comes from. It's such a big deal for us to understand the truth in Jesus versus the lie of our enemy. It is such an important thing for us, because if you walk into a room and you feel that way, and everywhere you go you feel that way, how are you ever going to feel like you belong to the family of God? And this is such an important thing for us to deal with. This is such a big thing. And I'll tell you, as I talk to people, as a pastor, you just kind of are uniquely situated to have lots of conversations with people about where they're at in their journey in their faith, right? Where they're at with Jesus, where they're at with what's going on in their lives. You just are kind of, you get this unique insight, this ability to talk to people. People want to talk to you about those kind of things. And so you kind of hear it a lot. And one of the things that I hear so often, one of the main reasons why I hear people aren't maybe ready to come home is because they fear rejection. They fear that not that God will reject them, but that the church will reject them. And this is such an important thing for us to get as we kind of close out this whole series, as we kind of work through this. It's such an important thing. And so I want you to understand, there's a different question that we need to start asking than, will I be accepted or will I belong? But will you believe that you belong? Will you believe that you belong? Can I tell you, in this church, not everybody gets a platform to speak, right? Not everybody gets a platform to speech, to teach. But everybody is welcome to come and hear about Jesus. Everybody is welcome to come and see who God is. We are not perfect. I am not perfect. If it required perfection to be a part of this church, it would be empty. Because none of us in this place are perfect. And so Jesus, again, we're going to come back into this story, and just to set it up again, in case you've missed the last 3 weeks, maybe this is the first time you've come. Maybe you're only here because mom asked you to come, and it's Mother's Day, and that's why you're here, right? I get that. That's why I'm wearing a tie today. If this is your first time in church, this is not how I look. Okay, like this is for mothers. Okay, but as I understand that idea, and so what happens is there's this group of Pharisees, there's this group of religious leaders that's upset with Jesus for hanging out with sinners. Right? That's what they're mad about. They're upset that he's hanging out with people that they don't think are good enough. That's where we pick up this story. And Jesus, as he so often does, tells a story. And he tells two stories at the beginning here about a lost sheep and a lost coin. And it's such an important thing that these Pharisees come and they're mad at Jesus because Jesus teaches a different gospel than those Pharisees were trying to teach, right? Jesus spent time with people. He accepted people that the Pharisees wouldn't be caught dead with, right? Pharisees looked at people and said, they are not worthy of the kingdom of God. And Jesus offered them hope. Jesus taught that every single soul matters to God, that anyone can be loved by God regardless of their past. And the Pharisees just don't like that. So they're trying to discredit Jesus. They're trying to get rid of Jesus. They don't like the fact that Jesus is focused so much on lost people. They want him to focus just on the church people who meet the cut. Right? That's where they're at. That's where this story is. And Jesus tells these three stories, the lost sheep and the lost coin. And at the end of every one of these stories, he talks about the party that's thrown when the lost thing is found. And just in case you don't know what happens in Luke chapter 5 or 15:7, it says, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't feel the need to repent. It is such a big thing for us to understand how excited God is when someone comes home. It is such an important thing. And in the last story he tells a story that we've been in for the last 3 weeks, and we're closing out today. He tells the story of a lost son. If you missed these last three weeks, you can go back and give it a listen. You know, we talked about just the runaways themselves, you know, the son that runs. We talked about how we can expect and what we can expect when we come back. We talked about how God reacts when we come back home. It's such a big thing, but there's something that happens here at the beginning of the story. The son says, Father, I want my inheritance and I want it now. And for whatever reason, and we talked about this last week, the father gives the son his inheritance. This is such a huge slap in the face. This son says, I'd rather have your money than be in your home. I'd rather have your money than you. I'd rather have your money than you even be alive. And this father gives his son his inheritance. The son goes away. And like most of us do when we're young and we're dumb, right? He blows it right away. He blows all the money, and pretty soon he finds himself alone, desperate, starving, and he finally goes back home. Now, you need to understand, if you haven't been here, this son represents people that have walked away from their faith in God, right? Walked away from the Father. That's what it represents. The Father in this story represents God. Okay, and that's such a big thing for us as we read through this to understand that. In Luke 15:18 is where we're going to be today. We're going to keep kind of reading through the end of this story. Luke chapter 15, verse 18, it says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found. And there's so many layers to that. We kind of unpacked this over the last several weeks, right? Like, you can never lose the love of God. Right? The love of God is offered to this son before the son says anything. The father sees the son on the horizon and runs to his son. There is nothing you can do to lose the son or lose the love of the father in this place. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your story is. It doesn't matter where you've been or how lost you think you are. It doesn't matter. God loves you. Period. But I'd like you to notice when sonship is restored, right? Repentance happens, and then the blessing of sonship is restored. We have to make sure that order is the right order, right? Look at the story. If you don't believe it, read it again. Check it out. Love is there. No questions asked. Then repentance happens, and sonship is restored. And this is where we see it. And right here, this is such a beautiful picture of God's love for us. It's such an amazing thing. When you make a decision to come back to God, it kicks off a celebration in heaven, right? Like, heaven is rejoicing when we come back to God. It's such an important thing. Your heavenly Father loves you and wants you home. And like all of Jesus' story, this one has a principle, right? Like it does. The son comes home. The father throws a party. And at this point in the story, the crowd is probably like, oh, that's nice. What a great story. Jesus is such a good storyteller. And maybe breathing a little bit of sigh of relief because he kind of made a point at the end of the last two. And at this point, they might just be sitting and thinking to themselves, but Jesus wasn't done. And I need you to feel the hush in the crowd grow. And I need you to feel the growing tension in this story as Jesus continues. Because Jesus creates tension right here. And it is such a big deal for us to get this. The story doesn't end there, it continues. It'd be nice if the story ends there. We actually love that part of the story, right? Right, like that's the nice part. The son comes home, there's a party, everybody's happy, what a great day. But the story continues in verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. Now, what you'd expect in this story is for the older brother to be like, yes, my brother is home. What a great day in our family. What a glorious restoration that happens. What an exciting moment. Let's go in and let's have a party. That's what you'd expect. That's the idea that we could expect on a normal type of story. But that's not the way this story goes. Jesus tells another unexpected turn here. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, notice not when my brother, when this son of yours comes home, he squandered your property with prostitutes. When he comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. The older brother is angry. He's angry with who? The father. The older brother is angry with the father. Why? Because he welcomed his son home. It's nice to focus on the prodigal in this story. But Jesus didn't tell this story to a bunch of sinners. I mean, they were sinners. But who he told this story was to a group of religious people who thought they knew better. So the point Jesus is making isn't just the son coming home. The point he's making is to the audience, who are people that think they have it figured out. The older brother represents the Pharisees, and unfortunately, sometimes me. Sometimes you. Right? That's what we see. That's what we see in this story. The older brother's attitude went like this. How dare you throw a party for him? Don't you remember what he did? Don't you remember how bad he hurt you? We can't just let him come back like nothing ever happened. He left home. Where's my celebration? Right? I've been working for you. I've been doing my part and his part. He wasted your money. Maybe you've heard it a little bit more like this. We spend way too much time at our church trying to reach lost people. The service is too designed for people who don't know Jesus. Reaching the lost is important, but the church is supposed to be for me. After all, it's my tithe check keeping this place going. You spend too much time with sinners. Shouldn't we get some of your attention too instead of just them? I was actually told this once by somebody who doesn't attend here anymore. When you're done focusing so much on lost people, you might see me come back with my money. I have no idea if they gave. I don't know who gives what, so you can't really use your tithe as leverage against me. It's just one of those things. Because you could be a liar. I don't know. I can understand welcoming people back, but there should be a price. That's the attitude of the Pharisees. Sometimes it's the attitude of me. Sometimes you've probably thought things along those lines. Over and over again, what I hear is not, I'm worried God will forgive me, but I'm worried if the church will accept me. I hear it time and time and time again. This is hard. I will say it's difficult in this culture too, because accepting somebody doesn't mean condoning everything they do, right? You can accept somebody in and not have to approve of everything they do. But in our culture, a lot of times those things are seen as one and the same. If you really accept me, then you won't tell me what I'm doing is wrong. That's not what Jesus did either, right? Jesus calls those things out. But he doesn't put limits on who he accepts in. He doesn't make them pay their dues before they can come and sit at his table. This is such an important thing. Here's some more older brother attitude. While you were out doing stupid things, I've been here faithfully serving God. You got what you deserved. How about this one? I've seen her kind before. This won't last. It's not worth the trouble because people never really change. I hope you learned your lesson. And just in case you didn't, I'm going to keep bringing it up for the next 10 years to make sure you get it. Instead of celebrating, the older brother was skeptical. Instead of forgiving, the older brother is resentful. Instead of being gracious, the older brother is selfish. I deserve the party. I've been here. I'm still here. The father, remember, represents God. And what is his response to this son? 31, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. This is such an important thing, church. And I'm happy to say that for so many of you, you get this. So many of you get this even better than me. Like, this is such an important attitude. But let's talk real quick about how to act like the father instead of how to act like the older brother. Because I don't think any of us hope that at the end of our life, people were like, yeah, that's you. You were the older brother in the story. Right? Like, I don't think any of us want that to be how we're remembered. So how do we go about this? How do we move through this? The first thing that we have to do is acknowledge that we have an ugly tendency to act like the older brother sometimes. It's in us. It's there. And wisdom leads us to honest assessment. That's not an easy thing, but it's a good thing. It's not an easy thing, but it's a good thing. We have to acknowledge the fact that I have these tendencies inside of me. What do we have to do again to act like the father instead of the older brother? We need to focus on forgiveness, not punishment. This is such a huge thing, and it's not easy, but it's important. The prodigal coming home has already suffered. They're coming home because they've realized that the consequences of their sin are greater than their life with the father. They've already been punished. We don't need to punish them any further. We need to respond with love, not lengthy lectures. This is hard for me. If you know me, I'm a talker. And if you know me, I have this giant set of eyebrows on my face that when I'm not thinking about, draw down. And so I'm trying to just have a conversation with somebody, and all of a sudden they're like, why are you mad at me? I'm not. I'm super happy right now. But I'm a talker. I have big opinions, and sometimes when I state my opinions, people think I'm trying to lecture them, and I'm just trying to put my opinion in the story. We need to be careful. We need to celebrate restoration and don't wallow in rejection. This is such a big way that we act like the Father. And here you go. This one might be the most important one. We need to make sure we meet them on the road so that they don't have to walk home alone. That's how you respond like the father and not like the older brother. You're looking out for people who are wanting to come home, and you're going to go right where they're at and do life with them where they're at and walk them home, right? Like, this is such an important thing for us to get our head around. Listen, I want you to know out there, this has been really the key truth that we have tried to hit over and over again every single week as we've gone through this last 4 weeks, is that I can always come home. I can always come home. And we want to be a church that responds like the father when they come home, all right? So I'm just going to give you a list. I know I've given you a lot of things. I'm just going to give you four things right now, all right? Four things you can write down: how to treat people when they come home, how to welcome people home. First, we need to be people that forgive. And we need to work on this. And we don't need to wait for them to be sorry to forgive. Now, I want to tell you, forgiveness doesn't always include letting them right back into your zone. okay? Right? Like closeness and those things, those can be earned. And there are some people out there you can forgive, but they were very dangerous to you. And it doesn't mean you have to become best friends again. But forgiveness is talking about leaving it to Jesus and not wanting bad things for them. I talk about this all the time. One of the tests of my heart with whether or not I've forgiven somebody is, can I pray for God to bless that person? And I need to be praying that over and over and over again for people that have wounded me until I can say it and mean it and actually walk in forgiveness. It is such an important thing. The second thing is we need to just love people right where they're at. We don't have to wait for people to get everything all cleaned up before we can love them. It's such an important thing. I'm so grateful for being a person, or for being a person that came to a relationship with Jesus, with people that just kind of were patient with me as I had to work through my garbage, which, by the way, I'm still doing to some degree or the other, but even the initial surge took probably close to a decade. And people were patient, and they loved me, and they stood beside me. Number three, how we treat people when they come home, we need to celebrate. It is such an important thing. And number four, we need to make sure that we include people. They don't have to earn their way back to the Father. They don't have to earn their way back to the Father. When people come and they repent, that's what the Father asks. We are not perfect at this church, but I am so grateful that we've been trying to be like the Father and not like the older brother. It's not a perfect system. We're going to make mistakes along the way. But I want you to know that this is our heart. This is our heart. You can always come home. Aiden and Mandy are going to come up here. I think, is Mandy in the room yet? Now, Aiden, you can come up. She'll come up when she sees you. There's a song that came out about 2 weeks ago. I've been wanting to play it for this series, but if I play a copyrighted song, they shut down our live stream. And so we're thinking about you, people who are watching online. He's going to sing after we take care of some business here, but he's just going to play in the background a little bit for us. And I want you to hear a couple things today. First of all, if you're in this place and you have walked from Jesus, I want you to know the Father is ready to forgive. The Father loves you. He wants you home. And today can be your day. And we want to celebrate with you in that. It's such an exciting thing to be able to do. All right, and so in just a moment, we're going to give you an option and a chance to choose Jesus, right, to come home. We believe that that is so important. And the other thing is a little harder. The other thing is a little more difficult. I'm not going to call people up or anything like that, but I'm going to ask you to just do a little bit of self-reflection. And I'd like you to just examine your heart and see if that older brother attitude has crept in there. And if it has, we're going to give you a chance to respond and just lay it down at the feet of the Father. The Father can forgive the older brother just as easy as he can forgive the younger one. It's an exciting moment. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes just out of respect for a moment. And I want you to know if you're out there and you have walked away from God, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And if you're out there today and you're saying, today's my day, I'm coming home, I'd like you to slide a hand up in the air. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. Is there anybody here today that would be you? You haven't, and you're ready to come home. All right, I see you back there. Is there anybody else? Yeah. bless you, bud. So you can go ahead and look at me. Here's what we're going to do. I don't know where you're all at with Jesus. I don't know if you all know how to pray. So I'm just going to pray, and I'd like you to repeat after me. Okay? If you're out there and you've chosen Jesus, I'd like you to repeat after me too, just so it's not three people in a room of however many people are here today. If you're out there and you haven't chosen Jesus and you're not ready to choose Jesus, you have our full permission to just be quiet. We don't want you to promise something you don't mean to God. It's okay. All right? But I'm going to ask you, if you raise your hand or if you're in here and you've chosen Jesus, to pray with me, all right? Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've been trying to do it my own way, and it hasn't worked. God, I need you. I'm sorry, and I want to come home. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to live for you. You are good. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. I want you to give it up. When heaven has a party, we ought to too. It's an awesome thing. Listen, if you were one of the ones that raised your hands, I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. I want to encourage you to talk to somebody. Okay? Let them know what happened in your life. Okay? Let them know about the decision that you made today. Talk to the person that brought you. If nobody brought you or you don't feel comfortable with that, come talk to me, but come talk to somebody. Tell somebody about it. And the other thing I want to encourage you to do is stop by at the guest booth back there. We have a little pamphlet we'd like to put in your hands that just talks about some next steps, okay? Some next things that you can do once you've chosen Jesus. And we just want to encourage you to do that, okay? Now, I would like you to just bow your heads again. And we'd like to go back to the second question. How many of you would be honest in this place today and say, that older brother has creeped a little bit into my heart again, and I need to deal with it? I'd like you to just slide a hand up in the air, and I just want to pray with you this morning. Yeah, I got you. Is there anybody else? We're just going to pray, church. If you're the older brother in here, you know what to say. You just got to do it, right? So I'm just going to pray for you. Then we're going to have Aiden sing this song. And then I got one more thing we're gonna do as we leave, okay? But Jesus, I thank you for people's honesty. This is not an easy thing to admit. This is not an easy thing to own, but it's so important. And I just thank you for everyone in here, God, who can own this. This has just crept a little bit more into my life than I wanted. God, I don't want this. I just pray for forgiveness. I pray for restoration. God, bring conviction where it needs to be brought in these situations. God, I thank you for your forgiveness for me just as much as for anybody else. You are good, Jesus, and I want to be like you, not just the worst parts of me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead and give this song a listen. Let it speak to your heart.
Down here, my minute, before I knew it, I was in.
Song is called Daddy's DNA. It's by Brandon Lake on his new album. You can listen. That's the story. That's the story. I just want to encourage you, if you're still in this place and you need to do some business with Jesus, these altars are open. You can talk with God. Pray through some things. You can come home. For those of you that have come home, which is awesome. Can I tell you, 24 people in the last 4 weeks have raised their hand to come home. That's worth a party. That's so incredible. And I just want to encourage you in this place, celebrate, right? If you haven't come home yet, you're welcome home anytime. God is ready to welcome you home. I love it. I want to just say, as you go, there is a little gift out there for every lady in this place, okay? You don't have to be a mom to get the gift, okay? If you are a mom, we want to celebrate with you. Again, if you're in this place and today is a struggle, just know I'm praying for you. It can be such a loaded day. I just want you to know your church loves you. Jesus loves you. He sees you right where you're at, and he cares, right? And we just want to encourage you in this place to rest in Christ, right? If all the ladies go through the line and there's some left, boys, men, you can have one, but you will wait until they have had a chance to go through, all right? Everybody, have an awesome Sunday. Like I said, if you want to stay and pray, pray. If you're ready to go, have a great Mother's Day.